might be any artificial knees. There won't be nothing that's artificial about us at all. And it's not going to be all that long, I don't think. Because the Bible does teach us that we're living in the last generation. The last generation. We need to look up, because His redemption draweth nigh. And I tell you one thing about it. It's going to be one glorious day when we all are going to get on that ship of Zion, and we're going to get on that ship and we're going to sail out to the heavens that God has created. You know, I got to thinking one time about what would we be doing when we get to heaven? What would we be doing getting to heaven? Some people say, well, we're going to be just there standing. We're going to be there praising the Lord. And we're going to be there thanking Him for everything. Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do that right at first. But yet, too, we also have got to look at the position that He's going to put us in. Because He says that we are ambassadors, is what Paul is saying. Paul said we're ambassadors for Christ's sake. Now, we're going to be able to look at this world and the world that we are in when we come back to earth. And we're coming back to earth one day. As soon as it's been cleansed, been purified by fire. And we're going to have a job to do. What is that job going to be? What's that job going to be for me to do? I have no idea. What's your job going to be? I have no idea. But the job that we have, we'll be able to praise the Lord, thank Him, and we would have the happiness that we have never ever felt before, because we'll be among the people. We will be in where the church is the body of Christ. Now, if the church, and we say this church, the ones that's here that's saved, it's the body of Christ. But have you ever thought about it this way? And I had never thought about it this way until just a few moments ago. That when we get to heaven, and what we're going to do in heaven, we're just going to do all we can do to get over some of the things that we had done where we shed the tears and everything. Yes, we're going to shed tears there. But after them tears are being shed by each one of us, then we're going to be where God wants us to be. And if the people there that's in heaven, and after the 7-year tribulation, then we come back to earth after 1,000 years. We come back to earth. And when we do, we're going to all be in the body of Christ. Why? It's not going to be no lost here. It's not going to be no individual that's lost. They're going to all be saved. And can you imagine that? Can you imagine going down Riverside Drive? Or can you imagine going somewhere and to get some lunch and everything? And can you imagine hearing people talk about the Lord and talk about how good He's been to us and everything? And and the things that He's asked us to do. I mean, really, we're going to experience that. It's a whole lot of things that we're going to experience that I know nothing about right now. The Word of God said, Paul said, the Word of God says, ears have not heard, eyes have not seen. So we haven't heard what's going on there in heaven. Only thing we know is what the Bible teaches us. And it teaches us the spiritual things that goes on there in heaven. It tells us about the individuals there that's on the side of the banner there, looking over, down on us each and every day, and praying for us. Yes, they are praying for us. My grandmother, Murphy, she's praying for me over there. I know she is, because she prayed for me down here. I know she is. I know my mother-in-law, Shelby's mother. I know what she's doing there in heaven. I know when she gets to the banner, and that's when I'm up here preaching, or when the individual shows up at the banner there in heaven, and looking over the banistry there. It's when we're outdoing God's work, and they're praying for us. They've given us strength to go by and to do what God has asked us to do. The church, which people are afraid to join. You know, there are churches out here that people are afraid to join. They are. Literally, there are churches out here that people won't go to. They won't go to. They won't join the fellowship. Why? Because they just getting a little nibble. The itching of the ears. What the Bible teaches. They're not getting the truth. Yes, they preach about God's love. Yes, He is a God of love. But most of all, for me and you, He's a God of wrath. That's what He wants to do. He wants to let us know that He's not just a God of love, but He's a God of wrath.
Don't you need to
sit down? No. I'm all right right now. But no. But that's the reason the people out here today is not getting saved. That's the reason the churches out here are growing. Some of the churches are growing by leaps and bounds. Why? I can tell you exactly why. Because they up there teaching and preaching a message just to soothe their heart. To soothe their soul. To let them know that everything's going to be okay. That God's going to take care of them. You ain't got to worry about home. You ain't got to worry about automobile. You ain't got to worry about a job. God's going to take care of you. Because He's a God of prosperity. Yes, God wants us all to prosper. He wants us all to be able to grow. He wants us all to be able to have these things. But for us to have them things, we have to get down with the world. We have to get down to where they are at. And we have to learn the things that God has taught them. Because, you know, where was the Lord Jesus born at? Was He born in a house? No. Was He born in a mansion? No. Was He just born in a shed that was covered? No. He was born in a cow stable. A stable where the animals came and they feasted upon the grain of the food that they had in the little trough. And they took the water for the nourishment of the body, to drink of that water where they could have the nourishment, where they could go on, because everybody said that you can't live without water. You can live without food for a pretty good while, but without water you can't. Because the first thing you're going to do, you're going to dry up. You're going to dehydrate. We have to have water. And see, Jesus Christ was born that day. He became the bread of life, to where we could go and we could partake of that bread of life. And we could be able to take it and use it for His honor and His glory. Because that bread, what gives us strength, that bread gives us the ability to go forward and to do what He wants us to do. And the water is a symbol of the Holy Ghost, a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And we know that He's the water that we must drink. We know that He's the water that we must depend on. Because if we take of that water that He gives us, we'll never thirst again. We'll never thirst again. Why? Because He quenches that thirst. He quenches that thirst. The Bible speaks more of sin in the Word of God than it does about love, about salvation. He's telling the people that if you sin, you will pay the consequences. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And it says in Romans 6:23, I believe it is, for all have sinned and come short. That does not exclude me. That does not exclude you. But it says for all. A-double-L. It don't say just for few. It don't say just for the ones that's lost. No, we have all sinned. And we all come short of the glory of God. Each and every day of our life. That's the reason we have in the book of John. Chapter 1 and verse 9. That's the reason we have it. If we'll confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all the unrighteousness that Satan has put on us, that this world has put on us. He will cleanse us and He would make us whole again. You know, Paul speaks of the blood. He speaks of, where he speaks about the blood there, he speaks about, Paul is speaking about that he must be crucified daily. We need to be crucified daily. And when we're crucified daily, then that's when the Lord Jesus Christ, He will come and He will show us once again the blood that He has shed for us and is put upon our bodies. Because God the Father, you know, His Son is obedient. His Son is obedient right down to the core. He does exactly what the Father has told Him to do. Years and years before all of this happened, God told Him exactly what to do. Jesus was on the mountaintop, the peak, that where He could look around. Just turn around and look around Him. And He said, the Bible teaches that He could see the world. He could see everything that was in existence. But yet, he didn't tell Satan. He said, Satan, no, I created all of this. I created everything that you see as far as I can see. I created it. No. He always give God the praise. Always give Him the glory. And He always said, Father, not my will, but Thy will be done. Not my will, but Thy will be done. And He said it all the way to the cross. All the way to the cross. When He was hanging there on the cross, He was telling them, the people there, right before them, He was telling them what He was aiming to tell God. And He said, God, forgive them, for they know not what they say. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Not my will, Father, but Your will be done. Because I have nothing without You, Father. That's what His Son is saying, basically. He said, Father, I have nothing without You. I have nothing without You. So for what I do, I want You to receive all the praise, all the glory, because it's for what You've done in my life. And Jesus Christ, you know, He's our elder brother there. We have a Heavenly Father, which is not just my Heavenly Father. He's my Papa. He's my Daddy. And I want everything that He deserves. I want Him to deserve it all. I want Him to receive every bit of it. Because He has not done anything wrong at all. Satan will say, well, yes, He did too. He kicked me out of heaven. And He kicked my cohorts out of heaven. Yes. And he says, you know, God's going to have to, He's going to have to give an answer for that. And when I read that, I said, Satan, you don't even know what you just said. You're going to give an answer for it. Because you're going to face God. We're not just going to face Him. Satan's also going to face Him. And his angels. That's why we need the local church. That's why we need a place of fellowship. That's one reason that we need a place where we can come and we can gather and we can pray for other people, other loved ones. If we're not willing to pray for our loved ones, who's going to pray for them? If I'm not willing to pray for my loved ones, who am I going to pray for? Who's going to pray for them? Nobody. Because they're going to look at me and say, well, you know, Donnie, he don't care anything at all about his brothers. He don't care anything at all about his sister-in-law. He don't care anything about their kids. Why should I care? They're not that close to me. They're blood kin. that's the reason I need to care for them. Because they mean something to me. They mean something to my family. Yes, I need to pray for them every day. Some days I don't. And God forgive me for that. But I need to pray for them. And then after I get through praying for them, and then I'm supposed to pray for the church. And then I'm supposed to pray for what's going on at the church and what's happening within the lives of the people that God has so graciously given me. You know, God just does not hand over a group of people to one individual, to the pastor of that church. God just does not have that one individual to care for them. Because we're supposed to go to God. We're supposed to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to go through the Holy Spirit. And we must ask them to help the people that they have granted for me to be the ones that takes care of them. You know, that's like David. David, when David was going around, what was he doing? He was taking care of his flock. He took care of his flock. It's the same way with the pastor. The pastor needs to have concern for the flock that God has graciously given him. And if I can't be concerned about you, that I know that I need no need to be. All right. Well, I ain't been in it. But we just need to depend on each other. I need to depend on y'all to pray for me that I will preach the message that God wants me to preach. And I will pray for you that you will go out here and be faithful to God in loving one another. See, when I said a few months ago, this right here, it is not but six of us here tonight. Seven when Nancy's here. You need to look at it this way. This is the body of Christ. This is just not the leg of the body. This is just not the left eye of the body. This is just not the left arm of the body. This right here is the body of Christ. The complete body. That's what we represent here. We represent the complete body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we let one down, we really let him down. We don't need to let him down. And I don't need to let you down. I need to stand up here and be accounted for what I preach. And I appreciate each and every one of you because I haven't heard anything at all about, from either one of y'all about what I preach. Oh yes, I know preachers today and I know churches today. Yeah, they have to have a bulletin and they have to write down the title of their message for Sunday. The pastor has to give it to them today, this Sunday, for next Sunday morning. Can you see me? Can you see me giving y'all a list of the title of the message that I'm going to preach? Can you see me doing that? I'm asking you a question. Can you see me doing that? Nope, I can't. My wife can't. Why? Because I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not led by no man. I'm not led by no individual. I'm led by the Spirit of God. And I thank God for Him. Because He teaches me what this book says. I don't need no professor. I don't need no seminary or college. I don't need all of that. Why would I want to go and set up under a man that where the school is end up paying them probably $100,000 a year when I can go to the Bible and I can go to my study and I can get alone with God and I can pray and I can ask God, will He allow the Holy Spirit to teach me what I'm going to read tonight? Why would I want to trust man when I got the Holy Spirit to put my trust in? The Holy Spirit, Lord have mercy. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit, I'd be at home tonight. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit living within me, I'd be at home next Sunday morning. If I didn't have the Spirit of God living within me, I'd be at home next Sunday night. Why? Because if I ain't got the Spirit of God living within me, then I don't have God. You have to have all three. All three. To be saved. You cannot have just two. I've had people to tell me, and I'm going to close with this. I've had people to tell me, says, yeah. Says, when I got saved, I had to wait. I waited 6 months. I waited 6 months before I received the gift of the Spirit. That's wrong. That's nowhere in the Bible. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God, the very moment that I accepted Jesus Christ. I didn't have to wait no month. I didn't have to wait no 2 months. I didn't have to wait no 6 months. Only thing I had to wait on was the Lord to say, yes, son, come on in. You saved by the glory of God. But I'll tell you. But some people right here are so gullible that they'll believe anything. They'll believe anything. They need to believe this book. They need to read this book. And don't ask no professor to teach them what this book says. Ask them to go to the true professor. And that's the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, as we go home tonight, we pray, Father, that You will be with each one of us. Father, help us, Lord, that we may do something that will glorify Your Son. And it will glorify You also, Father. Help us, Lord, that we may be faithful to You. Help me, Father, that I will continue to stay in Your Word. Help me, Father, that I'll always get my directions from the Trinity. That's You, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I need You today. I depend on You. I want to be obedient unto You. Father, we thank You. And Lord Jesus, go with us this week. Father, help us that we can be a witness for You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.